Not part of discussion.
Everything is
there is a new class.
Good morning, gentlemen, and any ladies that may be listening. Okay, so to recap where we are holding. I mean, professor having his mezainis there. Running commentary here.
Right, finally.
And it's just been immortalized.
Arkady rolling his eyes, that professor having his mezainis.
No, Arkady's name is logged in.
We can reset it if you like.
No, I want to add video.
That video is
actually see my my eyes.
Okay, so we had a machlokes in the Gemara. We were discussing what the halakha is if you have a shinui makim, if you change your location in the middle of a meal. Are you required to make a new bracha rishayna when you move to a new location? That was all the discussion was. But we had three opinions. One opinion was the first opinion we saw was the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, who said that you never need to make a new bracha on a shinui makim. Whenever you change your location, you're never required to make a new bracha. The next opinion we saw was the opinion of Rav Chisda, who said that sometimes you do need to make a new bracha. When are those occasions? Well, the first one is his first qualification is when you move from bias to bias, from one house to another house, or from inside the house to outside the house. But when you're in one house, yeah, that not. From one mokim, from one place to another place, you don't have to. And then he further qualifies, and when we said that you are required to make a new bracha, is only when you're eating things which...
which require a bracha rishona. No.
No, but this is more complicated. We need to
This is not complicated. Let's just say it simply.
No, but
when are you required to make a new bracha? When you are eating things.
With required bracha after.
Everything needs a bracha afterwards.
No, but this is where your reference.
Bracha
if you eat
bracha
something,
before.
What is not required, bracha after.
To be said in that location.
In the location.
Okay? When you are eating things which do not require the after bracha to be said in that place, meaning you can say the after bracha anywhere, as soon as you leave, finished. Nigmar. Your suda is, your meal is over, because you have no intention to be returning to this place. You have no intention to, I'm still in the middle of the meal. I'm still planning on coming back. Because I could just walk on my way, and as I'm running to catch my bus, I can say a quick Bairei Nefashos on my glass of water that I drank. However, things which do require the after bracha to be said, or the after bracha is required to be said in the place that you ate them, then there, seeing as you have in mind, you still got in mind, I've got to go back, there's something, there's unfinished business, you're still in the middle of your meal. Lekiva kama kahadar, as the Gemara says, you are returning back to your original kavius, your original fixed in the middle setting, set in the middle of your meal, therefore you're not required to make a bracha. So this is how Rav Chisda qualifies the halacha, that it's going to depend. Whether you have to make a new bracha rishayna before bracha depends on this factor of what you were eating. And then we saw the final opinion was of Rav Sheshes, who says you always need to make a new bracha rishayna, even if you're eating foods which require the after bracha to be set in their place, even if you're eating a bread meal. Yeah, Rav Sheshes, you get called to the door to go and greet someone. Come back, make a new hamaitzi. Yeah, according to Rav Sheshes. Then, okay, that's what we saw in the Gemara. We saw the Machlokes, and then we saw the Gemara trying to bring proofs either way. Okay, the first proof the Gemara tried to bring was by way of a brisa, was by way of this case of a group of people who were sitting down to eat. Okay, and they were sitting down kvius, right? They were okar raglehem. They had to uproot themselves, which shows me that they were actually drinking. Yeah, and they had to uproot themselves, which shows me they must have been drinking something with a kvius being fixed, which must have been wine. And wine, we know, is one of the things which requires the after bracha to be said in the place. And the Gemara said that, or the Brisa said, that if they left, they went to go and greet a chasan and kala, yeah, to go and greet a bride and a groom.
They left their mother-in-law.
Well,
no.
Zakein achayla, okay. Maybe the mother-in-law is zakein achayla, an elderly person or the infirm. They left someone behind.
Different case.
They left someone behind, and when they come back, they don't need to make a before bracha. They are not required to make a bracha lemafreya, a bracha retroactive on what they ate, meaning an after bracha. When they leave, they're not required to make an after bracha, and when they come back, they don't need to make a new before bracha, because they are returning back to their meal. The Gemara says, why is this? Well, firstly, we see that they were drinking wine, and we see that the reason why they are not required to make an after bracha and a before bracha is because they left someone behind. But if they did not leave someone behind, then even if they would be drinking wine, which is a kvius, which is something which the after bracha is required to be said in the place, they are still going to require a bracha. The only reason they don't need to say a bracha is because they left someone behind. But if they wouldn't have left someone behind, they are required to say a new bracha. Just like Rav Sheshes, who says, doesn't matter what you're eating, you're always required to make a new bracha.
Yeah, which means only you're going back to this first place.
Oh, it's guaranteed you're going to go back.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Okay, and this, the Gemara asks, is a kasha on Rav Chisda. Okay, because it's a proof for Rav Sheshes, who says you always have to make an after bracha, who says you always have to make a new bracha Rishayna, and Rav Chisda says, no, you don't have to, unless it's water. Here we're not talking about water, here we're talking about wine. So this is a kasha, this is a difficulty for Rav Chisda. By the way, the Gemara introduced over here another shaila, threw another question into the pot. His other question is the bracha achreina, the after bracha. Right? Our question was only about the bracha rishayna. Are you required to make a new bracha rishayna? Now we are introduced to this question of the after bracha as well. Do you have to say retroactively on what you already ate before you go ahead and carry on with your before bracha? Okay. So the Gemara introduces this as a kasha, and we said, no, that's not a kasha. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda argues on the Rabbanan. Therefore, the Rabbanan hold just like Rav Chisda. The Rabbanan hold the other way. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who argues on the Rabbanan, who says, do you know what? The only time you are off the hook and you don't need to make a bracha is when you leave someone behind. But if you didn't leave someone behind, you have to make a new bracha. Rabbana would say, no, you don't. Yeah, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, you always have to make a new bracha unless you leave someone behind. Rabbanan say, you never have to make a new bracha if you're drinking wine. You're drinking wine, you don't have to make a new bracha. So this, we said that seeing as this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who is an individual opinion, and he argues on the Rabbanan. Therefore, there's no longer a difficulty for Rav Chisda, because the Rabbanan is like Rav Chisda. Okay. And then we went through a little bit more, and we saw one more thing that Gemara brought, which was seemingly a. a brisa in support of Rav Chisda, yeah, which said very simply that people that were sitting down to drink wine, they uprooted themselves and then they came back. They're not required to make a new bracha. Okay, and it didn't qualify, it didn't clarify, it's only when they left someone behind. Just said very simply, when you're sitting down, you're having wine, you leave, you come back, no bracha. Which is just like Rav Chisda says.
Who said that?
That's this is a brisa which the Gemara brings in support of Rav Chisda. Okay? So we have three-way machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, you never need to make a new bracha. Rabbi Yochanan's was discarded, right? We discarded Rabbi Yochanan, we threw him out right at the beginning. Then we have Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes. Rav Chisda says, depends what you're eating. Rav Sheshes says, no, it doesn't depend what you're eating. You always need to make a new bracha. Okay? Then we brought a brisa in support of Rav Sheshes and a question on Rav Chisda. We answered that up. And then we brought another brisa in support of Rav Chisda. Okay? That was the sugya. That was the Gemara.
But this is all cases, all opinion about if you eat went somewhere, came back. But what if I start eating Takuminaza homes, I also have food. I take...
This is the same. From house to house. From one location to another location.
What do you mean back?
That's just the example that is given.
It doesn't mean...
We're talking about also if you carry on in another location
as well.
It
means back to eat. Not back to eat.
I mean, it happens to be the case that the Gemara is discussing is that you came back to that original location.
But
Hu Hadin is true, even it's the same case would be if you went to a different location and carried on eating.
No, but
you,
there are some cases when leave somebody, what's it mean leave? This is an example of
you left them in Cafe Elat and you went to go over the road to go and daven, yeah, and then you came back to Cafe Elat. Yeah, yeah. That's the example.
Exactly, you go back.
Go back to that location, but it's the same. It's the same case. The halacha will be the same.
If I go to the another location,
The only reason we're talking
people
about
people eating and I take a seat.
The reason why we're talking. Firstly, we're talking behavior, which means a more common occurrence.
You don't
leave in the middle of a meal and go carry on eating in a different.
But who does that?
Who does that? It's not a common thing.
A
more common occurrence would be if you go, you were eating, you left to go and do something, run an errand, and then you came back to carry on eating. That's a more common occurrence, not firstly. And secondly, because the case of the Gemara was you left someone behind. Right? Then you're coming back to that person. You're not going to a different location. But it would be the same, the halakha would be the same, even if you went to a different location.
But let's look a bit strange. If you start eating, you say brocha, and go to another location, and there is people eating. You take a seat.
You would have to tell them. You would have to tell people there is a Torah says v'yisim nekiyim.
Do people know why you know?
You should be clean. You should make sure that you are free from guilt. Free from any suspicion.
If you don't say,
you should tell
people
should,
can be
yeah yeah. You should
suspicious.
Tell people I'm in the middle of a meal or I already said a bracha. I do this as well. You know, if you're in the middle of drinking something, you're in the middle of eating something. You just take a cup, like pour yourself a brand new cup, and you go up to like a bunch of new people and you drink the cup. What does it look like? So say I already made a bracha, somewhere else. So that you should do. Okay. So that was the recap. That was a summary of the Gemara. Okay, that took us 10 minutes. Now, then we saw the Rosh brought the opinion of the Rif. Okay. How do we paskin? How do we rule when it comes to this? What is the halacha? So, we saw the Rosh brought the opinion of the Rif. Now, the Rif says that the rabbis say that the halacha is like Rav Sheshes. That's interesting. Remember, what did we bring? We brought the brisa, which was a support for Rav Sheshes and a kasha on Rav Chisda. But then we threw it out.
Yeah.
Then we went ahead and brought a brisa in support of Rav Chisda. So it's very strange that the Rif is coming along and paskening like Rav Sheshes. But okay, how does he explain it? He says, because Tanya Kavasi, because that original Brisa was in support of Rav Sheshes. Venira Kedvarov, he says as well. It seems like I'm aligned to the way that Rav Sheshes learns things, that you always are required to make a new place. That when you leave your location, it's considered an end, a break in the meal. Yeah? We discarded that proof. We answered up that proof by saying that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah, that's just a shinuya. Shinuya means just you gotta fend for yourself. You gotta answer up a question. But shinuya, lo yisamchin in a shinuya. We're not gonna rely on a shinuya to tell us what the halacha is. Someone asks a kasha, you're in a tight corner. You gotta come up with some sort of answer. So we came up with an answer, and we told this is Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Onan argues with that. But we don't rely on a shinuya. If you've got a brisa in support of Rav Sheshes, we're not gonna paskin like Rav Chisda just because we answered up that brisa. The brisa seems like it supports Rav Sheshes, the simple reading. Okay, that's why the riff goes ahead and paskins like Rav Sheshes. The Rosh comes along and says, "I don't understand what you mean. Firstly, we've got another brisa in support of Rav Chisda." Yeah, the second brisa we brought to the end. We got another brisa in support of Rav Chisda, and that one did not have a shinuya. That one we didn't answer up. A brisa in support of Rav Chisda would also be a kasha on Rav Sheshes, and we didn't answer that up for Rav Sheshes. It was very simple. Simply said, if you're drinking wine and you leave, when you come back, you don't need to make a bracha. And we didn't clarify and qualify and answer up and say, no, Rav Sheshes is okay because it was, we just said, that's it. You leave, you got to come back and make. You do not have to make a new bracha, just like Rav Chisda. Okay, so that firstly, and secondly, the whole way the Gemara works is you have a kasha, you have a teretz, you have a question, you have an answer, you have a kasha, shinuya, and that's how you answer up the question. And look at this answer. This answer is amazing. Ein lecha shinuya gadol lemizu. This is the greatest way to answer up a brisa. We brought a brisa, which seemingly was a kasha on one of the opinions of the Gemara, and we said, no, it's the opinion of an individual. But the majority opinion is not like that. That's great. What do you mean, shinuya? It's not a shinuya. That's an amazing, perfect, glut, kosher answer to a question. It's not a question. That's an individual's opinion. We never paskin like an individual. We never rule like an individual. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ein lecha shinuya gadol mizu. There's no great answer. Therefore, with the strength of this, the Rosh goes ahead and he paskins like he rules like Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda, not Rav Sheshes. Rav Chisda, who distinguishes between what you were eating.
But what Rosh? But now you said Galacha by... what is Galacha now?
We've got a Machlekas. We had a Machlekas in the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Sheshes. Yeah. Sorry, Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes. Rav Chisda says it depends what you're eating, whether you have to make a bracha. Rav Sheshes says you always have to make a bracha. And now we have a Machlekas in the Rishonim, in the commentaries. The Rif says, like Rav Sheshes, yeah, you always have to make a new bracha. And the Rosh says, no, like Rav Chisda, that it depends what you're eating.
But this is again, it's not clear
who. It's again not clear. Okay, so
that
we
have
to. That
means two authorities have different opinions.
Yep, we got to keep.
The Rosh and the Rif.
We got to keep going.
It's a little strange how they finally get this decision. It looks as if it never happened.
That's the purpose for this class, so you can learn how they do this. See, it's halachic reasoning.
No, but this is now it's reasoning or not because
it's the process.
It's process, but if somebody final decision not the same as for Rosh, I am not sure Rosh is happy this reasoning.
Be able to ask him someday.
No, but the same in constitution. Even you, somebody vote, you still have own opinion. But after they accepted, voted,
okay. Again. Says the Rambam. Okay? This is the Rambam.
Yeah, Rambam was this much later.
No, he was a Rishon as well. He was an early commentary. Yeah, he was also an early commentary. In the same era, the same status as the Rif and the Rosh. Rif, Rosh, and Rambam. Hoya oichol b'bayis zeh, if you were eating in this house, u'posak sudasai, and you took a break, v'halach l'bayis acher, and you went to a different house, oi shahoya oichol, or you were eating, v'rakaru chaveiroi l'daber imoi, v'yotzal l'pesach besai, and someone called you out, and you went outside, v'chayzer, and then you came back, hoyol v'shina mekaymai, since you changed your location, tzarech l'varech l'mafreya al mash ochal, you need to make a bracha retroactive on what you ate. And then you have to go ahead and say another hamotzi.
What's retroactive on what you ate? What does that mean?
That means after bracha.
And after bracha, what you ate in the first place.
Yep.
Okay.
And then you have to make a new
first bracha
of hamotzi. Ve'achar kach yigmar sudasa. And then go ahead and finish your meal. How does the Rambam paskin?
But this is a new approach, kind of.
Why is this a new approach? No. Firstly, tell me, how does the Rambam paskin?
Sheshet.
Like Rav Sheshet. How do you see that?
Didn't depend on what you ate.
Didn't depend on what you ate? You were eating bread! You got called out in the middle of a bread meal.
Yeah.
You come back, make a new hamotzi.
But it means you need to say... new hamotzi, you need to say bracha after meal.
Yeah, you have to make an after bracha as well. Excellent, very good. Yeah, very good, 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 good. Our question, remember, our question of the Gemara was only about the before bracha. That's the only question. However, we saw thrown in there a little question of after bracha as well. The Rambam has already got himself into this question of the after bracha as well. Good, okay, good, well noticed, very good. Now, okay, why are we seeing what the Rambam says? Why am I showing you what the Rambam says?
Because we're a modern Orthodox synagogue and we go by the Rambam.
We're in Boston.
Maybe this is what the Galacha is?
Now.
Still.
Who have we seen? Which opinions have we seen so far? We saw the Rif and the Rosh. And now we're seeing the Rambam. Okay, if you think back to our introduction to halakhic reasoning, yeah, we spoke about the process of deciding halakha and the way that the Shulchan Aruch decides halakha is that he follows the majority. He takes the three big pillars of halakha, and whoever has the majority opinion, that's how he's going to go. Who are the three pillars of halakha that the Shulchan Aruch uses to decide halakha?
The Rosh,
and the Rambam. How is the Shulchan Aruch going to paskin over here?
Two counts, score 2-1, 3-0.
2-1. Yeah, what's the score? What's the score over here?
This is 2-1.
2-1 to who?
To Rambam.
2-1 to Rav Sheshes. Yeah, Rambam says, like Rav Sheshes, you always have to make a bracha, even in the middle of bread. Rif.
Is the same thing?
Also said the same. Rosh said, not like that. Okay, so we already know. This is great. We already know exactly how the Shulchan Aruch...
But this is only because we have only three pillars. Only, it's kind of odd number. If they have four, we can have score 2-2.
No way.
Why not?
Because then we wouldn't be able to decide halacha. Shulchan Aruch is rule. The rule of Rabbi Yosef Karo in the Shulchan Aruch is Acharei Rabim Lehatos. We always follow the majority. Yeah, majority in a Beis Din, in a court, a Jewish court, you can't have an even number. You only have an odd number. You always have an odd number. Because otherwise you're going to have a Beis Din shokel. You're going to have an equal Beis Din. And you can't have that. No. You have to decide halacha. You have to have an odd number.
No, this is not
Beis Din.
It's principle.
So the Shulchan Aruch follows this rule.
Yes, but
Shulchan Aruch follows this rule of Akarei Rav Nahato, is following the majority when it comes to deciding halacha as well. And therefore, he has to have three pillars. Yeah, that's why he's introduced the concept of three pillars. There are many pillars. He's decided, these are my big three. Seeing as these three are the major opinions and the major Rishonim, we're going to take these three opinions and we're gonna go with it. Sometimes it's not going to be like that. Sometimes if everyone else argues on them, or if only two of them have an opinion, then I'll consider other people. But if we've got, more or less a balanced, the other Rishonim, the other commentaries are all balanced, and then we've just got these three pillars, and two of them say like this, and one of them says like that, the halach is going to be like the majority.
But there are some cases when, for example, Rosh is not involved.
Yeah, that's what I said. If there's only two opinions, and they argue, and the third one abstains, or we don't know what the third one holds, then we're going to consider the other. Other people. Yeah, but if we have everything else is more or less balanced, and we've got three opinions over here, we'll follow the majority between the Rosh and the Rif and the Rambam. Okay, so here we already have an inkling, we have an insight into what the halacha is going to be over here. Okay, so
this guy knew each other or not?
These guys, firstly, they're not guys.
Pillars.
Pillows. Mishnah Berurah. You put this one in front of me. He wants me to use this one.
I don't know why is you have different books. This is my.
This is Rambam.
But there is no Rambam in here.
No.
But. How is happening? This is he is not discussed in Talmud.
The way the Rambam wrote his book was not as a commentary to the Gemara. But he took it out and he put it in list form of the halachas.
You mean who made Shulchan Aruch take use this one and this one? This can to find a Rambam opinion need to take his own book.
This is the Rambam. Happens to be, they put in the back of the Gemara, they put the Rosh, and they put the Rif. Because it happens to be that the Rosh and the Rif, right, their work is a commentary on the Gemara.
Yeah.
The Rambam's is not a commentary on the Gemara. It's a list of halachas. So he'll take one halacha out of here. All of the halachas of Suda aren't necessarily in one place that you can just put the Rambam there.
To have galacha, need to take different.
Yeah. You have to take it out a bit from another book.
It's not on
happens
the
to be
Gemara.
Some modern copies of the Gemara. They put the Rambam that's relevant to just at the back, just because. But this is modern. The Gemara. This is the Gemara. Yeah, the Gemara doesn't have any Rosh. There was no Rosh in the Gemara. They just printed it at the back of the Gemara to help you.
This only opinion. This is Rosh, and there is not part of Gemara.
I mean, the Gemara is just the Gemara. You have, they threw in their Rashi, they threw in their Tosfos. Why do they put that together with the Gemara? Because it's a commentary, step-by-step commentary of the Gemara, and this one is a step by that. That one comments on this. And the Rosh, because it's relevant to that Masechta, because it's relevant to that tractate. But Rambam is not relevant to any tractate per se. It's relevant to a section of halachas. That's how he wrote it.
But this is directly his writing, or this is combined?
This is his writing.
This also.
This is his writing, and these are commentaries. This, by the way, it's all this. By the way, this Kesef Mishnah. You know who wrote this? The Kesef Mishnah. There's a commentary on the Rambam. The Kesef Mishnah was written by Rabbi Yosef Cairo. Who was Rabbi Yosef Cairo?
Shulchan Aruch.
He wrote a commentary on the Rambam.
have that in Russian also.
No, but...
Everything was in manuscript form. Everything was just was separate. We were just making it easier for us and putting it all together. And the modern printing press. The old Gemaras didn't have all of this. We've got a long list of commentaries in the back. Yefei Naim, Mole Haroyim, I don't know, Maharsha. It's just stuff which is relevant and which you typically learn together with the here. This, by the way, is the commentary of the Mishnah of the Rambam. So we do have some of the Rambam because it's relevant to the to this, because it's the commentary on the Mishnah of Psachim. Right, so this is relevant over here. But this halachas we're learning here is about the halachas of a meal. This is the tractate about Pesach. So you can't, what are you going to put in here if it's the halachas? So halachas is, there's a halacha here. Oh, put it, took it out and coded it, codified. Okay. Now we're going to open to page 160 you have there. Let me find for you.
Trouble seeing it right now.
I kind of like the one with the English. Okay. Now, this is Simon Kuf Ayin Ches, chapter 178. And this is going to be discussing the laws of, as the title up here says, Eze Devarim Karuyim Hefsik Basuda. Which things are considered, are called a hefsek in a suda, in a meal? Okay?
Hefsek.
A hefsek means an interruption, a break in the meal. Now, I'll inform you that the next chapter, chapter 179, okay, if you look at the title of chapter 179, it's called Eze Devarim Kuruyim Hesech Hadas Vesuda. Which things are called Hesech Hadas, which literally, how do they translate it over there? A break of the intent. How do they call it? A distraction of one's mind. In the meal, shetzarich lachzor levarich, which requires you to go back and make a new bracha. Okay, this is very, very, very important to recognize. There's a difference. What is the difference between these two things? Right, it sounds like they're very similar. 178 is the things which are called an interruption in the meal, and 179 is the things which are called a distraction of one's mind.
What does it mean?
So if you fell asleep, for example.
Okay.
Mental problem?
So I'll tell you. So. What is 179? Kuf Ayin Tes deals with the halacha of how you end your meal. How do you officially, let's call it like this, how do you officially end your meal? Okay, and the first halacha which is brought in Sif Aleph is Gomar Sudase, if you ended your meal, the not al yod of mayim achronim, and you washed your hands with mayim achronim, then eino yochel lechoy, you're not allowed to eat, v'loy lishtois, you're not allowed to drink, ad she yivarich birkas hamazon, until you make birkas hamazon, until you say birkas hamazon, until you say that, you're not allowed to eat anymore, because this is hesech hadas, your mind has been distracted from the meal, you're finished. Your mind.
But
you're
talking about 979?
That's 179, okay? The 178 is called hefsek. Which are the things which are considered a hefsek, an interruption in a meal? Okay? So there's a considerable difference over here. There's a considerable difference in what the halacha will be based on which simon, which chapter it's included in. Okay. clearly, when we're talking about something which is considered hesach hadas, yeah, you've completely, mind has been completely distracted from the meal, right? First halacha being, you finished your meal. You finished your meal. When you finish your meal, finished. There's no question. There's no nothing.
It's not
right? That's completely, that's not an interruption. That's you've distracted your mind from the meal. You have, yeah, hesach hadas. You've taken your mind away from the meal. Now, zehu, I finished my meal, right? Therefore, these halachas in Kuf Ayin Tes, 179, are going to be the halachas of, you know, after bracha. You've got to make the after bracha, you've got to make a new bracha, you're finished. You're completely finished, yeah? 178 is Kuf Ayin Ches, is the halachas of things which are considered a hefsik, an interruption. An interruption, here is where we're going to have a question of, is it considered an interruption? Is it considered an interruption that it finished the previous meal? Or can I carry on the meal? Do I have to make a new after bracha? Or maybe I only need to make a new before bracha? Yeah? These are where there's room, there's wiggle room. Kuf Ayin Ches, there's wiggle room. Okay?
This is the same we talk about house to house.
Okay, exactly. So that's what I wanted to point out. What I wanted to point out was our halachas that we've been talking about is a question, not a question of hesach hadas. It's not a question of I've finished my meal, of I've, you know, I'm completely removed myself from it. It's considered an interruption. Okay? It's considered a hefsik. What's called a hefsik? Okay. So let's see the Shulchan Aruch over here. Now, again, we already know how he's going to paskin. We already saw it in the Rishonim,
but we'll see it spoken out.
This is Shulchan Aruch, together with the Mishnah Berurah.
Mishnah Berurah also?
Mishnah Berurah is the commentary of the Chafetz Chaim.
But it's also...
On?
It's
Halacha.
Galacha?
Yeah.
But Mishnah Berurah says, what is Shulchan Aruch or something else?
This Mishnah Berurah is a contemporary commentary, halakha commentary on the Shulchan Aruch.
Okay. It means... But is actually Shulchan Aruch...
Actual... What?
Shulchan Aruch without commands. On.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But this is what...
This is the Shulchan Aruch.
It means that there is something in Shulchan Aruch...
It's something called Shulchan Aruch, and Shulchan Aruch has its own set of commentaries. This is a contemporary version of the Shulchan Aruch. It's shorter, it's easier.
Means, close to our time.
Close to our times, and the way the Chafetz Chaim brings down the halacha is very definitive.
More proper to learn.
More definitive.
Him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you want to, I guess, if halachic reasoning, we should probably start.
No, but this is.
We should actually probably start with this, which is the Tur, which is what the Shulchan Aruch is based on. Okay.
Tur is.
But we're going to go straight to the Shulchan Aruch just to make it a little bit quicker and easier for us. Okay, now here we go. Haya oichel b'bayzeh. If you were eating in this house, upasak sudase, and you stopped your meal.
Now, where is your reading?
I think I have to turn the page.
But not from here.
Turn the page. See?
But this is really not for first paragraph.
Yeah. Hoya oicha b'bay zeh. If you were eating in this house, uposak sudosai, and you stopped your meal, v'holach l'bay zacher, and you went to another house, oi, or, shahoya oicha or you were eating and someone called you, your friend called you to speak to him outside, and you went outside the door to his house, and then you came back, seeing as you changed your location, sarich lavarich lemafreya al masha ochal, retroactively on what you ate, you have to say a bracha achrona. V'chayzo mavarich b'tchila Hamaitzi. And then you go ahead and make a new bracha at the beginning, Hamaitzi. V'achar kach yigmoyer sudasi. Then afterwards you can complete your meal. Okay, what does this sound like? This sounds like Rav Sheshes. Okay, Rav Sheshes, who says you need to make a new bracha. Doesn't matter, you're eating bread. Doesn't matter what you... It also sounds like the extra thing which was added in the Gemara, which was the fact that you have to make a after bracha as well, which was not necessarily the question of the Gemara, but we saw that as well. Yeah, it's not good enough just to make a new before bracha. You also have to retroactively make an after bracha on what you already ate.
This is not a reference to chametz. You can, what you eat, what you can say, bracha after. Chametz is a major sin, because this is, if you don't eat bread.
If you're not planning on carrying on eating, you don't have to make a new before bracha. It's only
I can eat something else.
Even if you want to carry on eating that original thing, the very same thing you were eating before, you still have to make a new bracha. But of course, if you were eating something different, you want to come back and eat something different, what you weren't eating before, of course you have to make a new bracha.
He's asking if you're eating fruit before and you come back and you eat more fruit. That's what he's asking.
No, not bread involved at all.
All the more so.
You can say not hamotzi, but what
yeah, yeah, of course,
what do you eat?
Of course. All the more so. Hamotzi is the biggest chiddush. Because hamotzi is something that, according to Rav Chisda, you're okay with hamotzi. With fruit, yeah, okay. with an apple, according to Rav Chisda, you're not okay. Even Rav Chisda would say
you could make a blessing over what he ate. I mean, apples, he say a blessing for apple. He ate something else.
Okay. Aval, however, im diber imay besoich habayis, if you spoke to this person inside the house, af al pi shashina mekoimai mi pina la pina eino tzarech levarich. But if you spoke to him inside the house, even if you change your location, you moved from one corner to another corner, you don't need to make any bracha.
This means the same room.
Means the same room. Ask a question. According to the Shulchan Aruch, what happens if you went from one room to another room?
You only had one room.
Our
discussion only if you move from house to house.
Good.
But this is we always stop talking about it because this is not even subject. If you stay in the same room, corner and corner, this is the same meal.
Well, 1 second. What was the Gemara? The Gemara said, "Shina mibayis labayis, from a house to house, inside the house to outside the house, or from one house to another house. Aval mimakaim makaim lamakaim, but place to place, no." So, what does that mean? Place to place. Does that mean from one side of a room to another side of a room, or does it mean from one room to another room?
But this is from corner to corner.
So, Shulchan Aruch says, if you move from corner to corner,
doesn't need.
You're okay. I'm asking a question, Rabbi Isai. What happens if you move from one room to another room in the house?
It means,
but corner and corner does include another room?
No. corner is not.
No, this is not the same. Corner to corner is the same room. Maybe corner different.
Have a look at the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Tess. Mishnah Berurah Tess, you have. Where are you?
Corner, this is a very abstract idea. No, what?
Ooh, this is funny.
This is one corner, this is room, another corner.
From corner to corner.
Definition?
Sifkot and Tess, according to the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, Hainu ba'isai cheder. That means in one room.
The same room, okay.
Va'af she'ein near elefano v'mekoyma rishon. Even if you can't see the original place you were sitting. Machmas hefsek dover mitashmisha bias, because there's a big something inside in the middle separating you. K'may tanor, like an oven is separating you. You can't see. Ein zeh shinui makim kevin shu becheder echad. This is not considered a shinui makim, a change of a place, because you are in one room.
Okay.
Now I'll ask you, Rabbi Isai. What happens if you move from one room to another room?
You see. Can you see?
Let's say no. Uh-huh. According to Shulchan Aruch, it's certainly strongly implied from here that
you need to say.
You need to say any bracha.
Because if it's not corner and corner.
Yeah. But this is what I don't understand. The Gemara said when you're going from bias la bias, and the inference from the first part of the Shulchan Aruch was, your friend called you outside. You went to another house. You went to speak to him at the doorway. You went outside the house. One room to another room sounds like it should be fine. But now he's saying, no, one second. From one corner to another corner, that's where it's okay. But one room to another room. So what we have over here, okay, is we have a stira, what we would consider a stira miresha l'sefa. We would have a contradiction from the inference of the first part of the Shulchan Aruch to the inference of the second part of the Shulchan Aruch. And in fact, this is not just a contradiction between the first part of the Shulchan Aruch and the last part of the Shulchan Aruch. This is a contradiction between the first part of the Gemara and the last part of the Gemara.
What does the Gemara say?
The Gemara says, when are you required to make a new bracha? When you go from, when are you not required? When are you required? When you go from bayis le bayis, house to house. But mokoim le mokoim, from place to place, that's okay. Mokim to mokim doesn't imply from one room to another room. Remember, when we were learning it up, we raised this question.
But strange, there is no any discussion about...
There is no discussion room to room.
The houses can be
There's no discussion galaha. Room to room in the Gemara. There's an inference, in fact, there's an inference either way, both ways. According to the first part of the Gemara that says, Mibayis Labayis, that implies that room to room is okay. According to the last part, mokim lemokim, which means sounds like corner to corner, would imply that room to room is not okay. Okay? So we see over here that cheder lecheder is a bit of a quasi, yeah? Very, very grey area. What's the halacha about cheder lecheder? So let's read on. See the Gemara.
But again, this is what they agree. This is strange because they have... You decided the galacha is based for the majority of pillars, but there's no anyone say about this case.
There's no
discussion. How can
of course there's a discussion.
Where?
Well, we have to know what does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says makim lemakim? Says machlekas. There'll be a discussion. What does makim lemakim mean? According to the Shulchan Aruch, makim lemakim means pina lepina. What's with cheder cheder? It's an in between zone. What is the halacha of this in between zone? Have a look at the Rama over here. Have a look at the Rama. The Rama adds. Get over here. One second. Sorry. Next page. Gloss. Says the Rama, Im hoya daita lechoi b'mokim acher, if your intention, you had in mind to eat in another place, mokim acher, loy mikri shenu mokim, that is not considered a shinui makim. That's not considered a change of place. Says the Rama, v'hu sheyiyeh shnei hamakomos b'bayis echad. This is when both of the places are in one house, which means under one roof. What does this mean? The Rama is specifically showing us that room to room is taka, a quasi place. It's a quasi place. It's nishta here and nishta there. It's neither here nor there. On the one hand, it is considered in one bias. It's inside the bias. It's not bias le bias. Yeah, it's not bias le bias. It's not one house to another house. It's not inside the house to outside the house. Not bias le bias. On the other hand, it's not mokim le mokim. Mokim le mokim is in one room. It's not one place to another place. Not one corner to another corner. So where is it? What is it? It's not bias le bias. So it should be okay. But it's not mokim le mokim. So it's not okay. The Rama says, this area, this quasi area of cheder le cheder, this is what's going to depend on das, on your intention. If you had in mind to go ahead when you started your meal, you had in mind that you are going to be moving to a different location, to a different cheder, a different room in the house, then we're going to consider it makom. You're in the makom, you're okay. If you did not have it in mind, that's a shinui makom. It's a change of place.
That means if professor start eating in the kitchen and go
if
here.
Professor started eating in the kitchen.
Come here.
He started eating, and he did not have in mind that he was going to carry. I called him in last minute. I said, "Professor, I'm giving a last minute shir."
Yeah.
And he came along and he wanted to carry on eating. Lot of.
You should say again.
It's not good. He has to make. He has to make an after bracha on what he ate.
And say.
And then come here and make a new bracha.
But if you.
However, if, like he usually does,
yeah.
He has a couple of mouthfuls yeah. on the way into the room. No, professor would never eat, walk and eat and walk. No, he would
no,
never.
But no, but
let's say professor would. Let's suppose that someone else.
Else a professor, someone else. But something else.
A different professor.
On a different day. I did it on a different day.
Started eating in the kitchen and then came in here, but he had in mind he was coming for the shir, then he would be okay. Because, says the Rama, according to the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch says that cheder lecheder is quasi, seems like it's okay, but seems like it's not okay, it depends on your das, depends on what your intention was when you started eating. Okay? That's cheder lecheder, according to Shulchan Aruch, okay? And this is, yeah, do you see anything, by the way, do you see anything about what you were eating, right,
no.
About qualification, what you're eating? Not at all. Yeah, this is Rav Sheshes, this is 100% Rav Sheshes. So even if you're Hamaitzi, even bread, you have to make a bracha, a new bracha, okay? Let's see Sif Beis, next page. Okay. Chaverim, friends, Shahayu Yoshvim Lechoy V'yotzelik Kras Chosanoy Lechras Kalo, who were sitting down to eat, and then they went out to go and greet a Chosan or a Kalo, Im Hinichu Sham Miktasan, if they left behind some of them, Chorizrin Lemukoyman V'goymrin Sudasan, then they can come back to their place and carry on eating, finish off their meal. V'einam Tzirichim V'varich Shniya, and they are not required to make a second bracha. Vim loy hinichu sham adam, but if they did not leave anyone behind, kashem yaitzim, tzrichim lebracha, lemafreya. When they leave, they need an after bracha, uchshem chayzrim, tzrichim bracha lechatchila. And when they come back, they need to make a before bracha. Yeah, this is, as we saw,
yes.
I don't know necessarily what he's adding. He's just adding the fact that something which overrides the factor of you leaving is, as long as you leave someone behind. Leave someone behind,
some
then you're okay.
People eating, you to some
then you're okay.
Outside.
But otherwise, no sir, not good. V'chein, im hayu mesuvim lishtos lecho peiros, or similarly, if they were sitting down to drink or to eat fruits. Shekol, yeah, they were sitting down to drink or eat fruits. Okay, then they do not are not required to make a new bracha.
Yes.
Okay, now this, yeah, this according to Shulchan Aruch over here is. It seems like it's even if he's drinking water or eating an apple. It doesn't say lishtois to drink wine or to eat fruits of the five species. Yeah, if you're drinking anything, eating anything, as long as you leave someone behind, that is the koveya. That's what makes you fixed. What makes you fixed is there someone here. If there's no one here, there's nothing that's keeping you. There's nothing fixed about your eating. Even if you're eating a bread meal, nothing fixed. Someone is there, you're fixed. Even if you're drinking water, even if you're eating fruits, then you're okay.
It means you're going to greet somebody, come back.
As long as you left someone behind, you're okay.
If you're alone.
If you're alone, then you have to make a new bracha, no matter what you're eating, even hamaitzi.
Wow. It means if we eat, somebody call me.
Yeah, Rav Sheshes.
To go back.
It's Rav Sheshes. Why? Shakol Amashane Mekoimai, because anyone who changes their location, Hariposak Achilosei, he finished, he stopped his eating, Ulefichach Mevorich Lemafreya Mashachal, therefore you have to make an afterbracha on what you ate, V'choyza Mevorich Shnia Al Mashahu Tzarech Lechoil, and you need to make a before bracha on what you want to carry on eating. V'hamashane Mekoimai Mepina Lepina Bebayis Echad, now the person who changes their location from one corner to another corner, b'bayis echad, in one house. This is very interesting why he's adding this over here. Okay, which the Mishnah Berurah says, no, this is not what it means, b'bayis echad. He means b'cheder echad. The Mishnah Berurah says, b'cheder echad. Okay. Then, einoi tzarech lachzor levarich. If you're changing just from one corner to another corner, you don't need to make any bracha. He adds another similar halacha as well, which is irrelevant to us. Acho b'mizracha shalta einazu uba lecho b'ma'arava tzarech levarich. If you ate on one side of a fig tree and then you went to another side, you need to make a new bracha, whatever that means. Okay, this is the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rav Sheshes, with again this additional factor, the Gemara adding in the after bracha. You have to make an after bracha as well. You're leaving your place. Yeah, you're finishing your meal. Finishing your meal isn't just going to say that when I continue eating, I've got to make a new before bracha, but I can carry, and then after I eat my second eating, my after bracha on the second eating is going to count for the both eatings. That's not going to work. I'm starting a new meal. Before I start a meal, I have to finish the last one. I have to bench on the previous one. My second eating, according to the Shulchan Aruch, does it make sense, Professor? According to the Shulchan Aruch, my second eating has nothing to do with the first eating. Therefore, my second eating, I can't expect my benching, when I bench on the second eating, to cover the first eating as well. They're completely different meals. There's no connection between the meals. That's why he says that you have to make the retroactively the bracha on what you ate. You have to make the after bracha first. Make the after bracha, then you're done with the first meal. Then carry on with the second meal.
It's not making them go back to the first place to make the after bracha.
Oh, so we would actually require you to go back to the original place to make the after bracha as well. Lechatchila, we'd say you've got to go back to that first place to make the bracha, because Rav Sheshes doesn't disagree that there is a concept of things which are required to say the after bracha in their place. He's just arguing on the fact that is that the thing which is kaveya you, fixes you in the middle of a meal. That he disagrees with. But yes, there's for sure a concept of things which the after bracha has to be said in their place. You change your place, that's a new meal. You have to finish the previous meal and then start the new meal. So what's it going to look like according to the Shulchan Aruch? What's it going to look like? What's it going to look like? You know what it's going to look like? It's amazing. Yeah, you're in the middle of eating. You're mezoinos. Or, yeah, you're having cake. Or you're having wine. Or you're even having a meal. You washed hamaitzi. Friday night dinner. You made kiddush. You washed hamaitzi by yourself. Yeah, if you left someone there, it's completely different. By yourself, you had a meal. Someone knocked on your door and you went outside. When you come back, What do you do? Shehira mahalois peshuva. Bench? Yeah? Bench?
Continue it.
A new hamaitzi. Yeah, not only were we saying you've got to make a new hamaitzi, we're saying you've got a bench. Yeah, this is what it would look like. This is what it would look like. You're in the middle of having some zonas, you walked outside to go, you know, to go to your car to go, you know, pick something out. You come back in, you have to say Al Hamichya, and then another mazonas.
Even not outside, I believe.
Even from one room to another room, if you didn't have it in mind. Yes. Yes. So according to professor, if another professor would have started his porridge or other mazonas type cereal, which the other professor likes to eat. Yeah, oatmeal. Porridge. It's a different professor, so he has porridge. Yeah. So if this professor would have porridge, and he'd have a kazayis of porridge, enough that would obligate an after bracha, okay, and then we in the kitchen, we called him for a last-minute shir inside here, according to the Shulchan Aruch, what he has to do is, he has to sit down, say Al HaMichya. Yeah, you know what Al HaMichya is? The blessing for a snack. The blessing for after a snack. He has to say Al HaMichya, and then he has to say Bayrei Minei Mezonos. Another Bayrei Minei Mezonos. Okay?
But if I was expecting you to come in.
If you're expecting me, then you're okay. But if it was one room, if it was a house to another house, inside the house to outside the house, then before you carry on eating, you got to say your after bracha.
But and then, I was expecting to walk out to the car and then come back in. I was planning that when I made my first breath.
No. This only helps cheder le cheder. That only helps cheder le cheder. That only helps room to room. But house to house is an objective finished. Okay? By the way, this is not just mazonos. Okay? This is everything. If Professor was drinking, or if I was drinking, let's not get too personal. Well, at least if it's going to be personal, then make it personal on me. Okay? If I was drinking some water inside, and I went outside, and I wanted to carry on drinking water, what do I have to do? Bayrei nefashos, and then shehakol. Of course I have to say shehakol. Everyone agrees you have to say shehakol, by the way. Okay? Because that wasn't one of the things which requires the after bracha to be said in its place. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, the chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch is this extra component of the after bracha as well. The after bracha you also have to say. Because, again, the logic being that I can't assume that my after bracha I say on the second sitting is going to count for the first. Because there's a hefsek. There's an interruption.
But this is Galacha.
This is the Shulchan Aruch.
But why is this a mention interesting? There are some authority who disagree with everything what's said.
1 second. We're not there yet.
But this is interesting fact.
Okay, but we have to stop here because it's time already. No,
but
okay?
Even
don't do this yet. Okay? Don't do this yet. Okay? If this happens, don't do this. Okay? This is the Shulchan Aruch. Remember, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rav Sheshas. Rav Sheshas says it doesn't matter what you're eating. Whatever you're eating, even if you're in the middle of a bread meal, it's always going to be a shenim. It's always going to be a hesek. It's always going to be a hefsek. There's always going to be an interruption. It's always going to be something bad. Yeah, and that's going to require you to make a new bracha. But not only that. Yeah, another factor is that the after bracha as well. Yeah, the after bracha you also have to say. Okay, so this is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, based on the fact that Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rav Sheshas, based on the majority, because the Rambam and the Rif, as we saw, both paskin like Rav Sheshas.
We will see next week
how the Ramah paskins on this question. Shkayach.